Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Thursday. Final start tonight in the NBA. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me. We are ready for the finals to begin in earnest tonight. We're also getting ready for the biggest player movement potentially in NBA or professional sports history. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. Very excited for tonight.
So I talked about this yesterday. Yesterday was going to be a big breakup lunch for Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis plays for the Pelicans. He's a big star. He is going to control free agency, or at least he could. So yesterday, the Pelicans general manager, David Griffin, met with Anthony Davis. And I've said for, I've been saying this for months. What I don't like about Anthony Davis is I think he's soft. He's non-confrontational. Michael Jordan wasn't. Kobe Bryant wasn't. LeBron James isn't. He's non-confrontational. So yesterday, it was perfect. The Pelicans actually took him to breakfast. It's always easier to break up over breakfast. I mean, the later in the day, alcohol gets served, people get more agitated. The morning, who argues over oatmeal and pancakes? I mean, they even call it break fast. It's quick. It's one course. It's over in 30 minutes. It's oatmeal. Nobody's ever gotten into a fight over oatmeal. So the Pelicans gave him a big break. Pelicans were like, yeah, let's go out and meet for breakfast. And Anthony Davis still couldn't break up. He doesn't have any alpha. Wojanowski, Adrian Woj, came out and said, well, yeah, David Griffin and Anthony Davis met. They're expected to continue dialogue moving forward. Why? Why? You're not happy. You've already said that. David Griffin gave you a great break. It was breakfast. That's the easiest time of the day to break up. I mean, you go to a breakfast, you're like, hey, listen, I got a bunch of stuff planned today. Listen, we don't work out together. I love you. I got to go. I'm going to go work out, and I've got a big lunch today. Boom, out. Everybody knows dinner, alcohol served, big steaks there. You're going home. You got nowhere to go. Couldn't do it. This is the easiest breakup ever. This is the easiest breakup ever, and Anthony Davis can't do it. He needs his agent to come in and do it for him. Think about this. You've got a guy replacing you 5 days after you're traded, Zion, with way more magnetism. I think he's going to be potentially even a greater player. So you got that going. Secondly, everybody knows you want out, so you're not like dropping a bombshell. They're just praying they can keep you. And third, your team's going to get a bunch of picks and players and assets when you leave. You're not leaving them high and dry. I mean, you're giving them picks, you're giving them players, you're giving them... And he still couldn't do it. This was the easiest breakup in league history. And if a guy struggles to break up, it makes me wonder about his game, his personality. Can I put a franchise on his back? Breakups have to be fast, clean, to the point, clear, and strong. I mean, really, Anthony, you want another rebuild? This is an easy one. You show up over pancakes and you say, listen, I've had a great time, but I'm a pro athlete. I got 6 prime years left. I don't want to go through another rebuild. What could I say? What could David Griffin say? David would be like, you got me there. Because even David Griffin knows we are rebuilding. You got a bunch of 19-year-olds coming. Zion Williamson's a baby. Going to be great, but a baby. You know, Damon Stoudemire was on our show, former Raptor Blazer, yesterday, and he said he just, you can look and watch Anthony Davis. He's just so darn uncomfortable with all of this.
When I look at Anthony Davis, he looks like he's uncomfortable with being the villain. You kind of have to alienate and be a really tough-minded, strong, thick-skinned individual to basically do what he did. And I'm saying from afar, he looks like a great guy, and I don't know if he's comfortable with that.
Listen, the Pelicans really set it up for him to go. They weren't manipulative. Rick Bucher was on yesterday on the show, and he said when Orlando was trying to keep Dwight Howard, they made it virtually impossible for Dwight Howard to leave. Do you remember what Rick Bucher said yesterday about this?
Dwight Howard with Orlando. He was all ready to go on. He wanted out. They got him into a room. They got a bunch of the sponsors in a room. They isolated him. They did it without his agent. And Dwight caved. And he because he was going to get on a plane with his teammates, and then the next thing you see is Instagram. You see a photo of him with the guys on the plane. Is yaha, you know. But he'd handed the keys back to Orlando, and he immediately regretted it as soon as he did it.
Okay, that though, that's a tough breakup. That'd be like telling your wife you're divorcing her, and she brings her dad or mom, their cousins, the family, the kids, and you're like, yeah, I'm breaking up the family. I'm going to go throw up. That would be hard. David Griffin invited Anthony Davis out for pancakes, and he's like, it's too hostile. I'm too uncomfortable. Pass the syrup. I want to stay forever. That's why I doubt Anthony Davis. By the way, his agent was there, Rich Paul, was with him holding his hand. Still couldn't do it. Anthony could have said, I just don't want to rebuild again. Rich, take it from here. Walk out. Thanks for flying United. Amazing. That was the easiest potential. They didn't even have a breakup lunch. It was a breakup breakfast. He couldn't do it. We'll keep monitoring it going forward. We'll keep monitoring it going forward. All right, so I want to move to this. So I'm driving home yesterday, and I'm listening to radio. AM radio. Love it. As a sports radio host, and he's an old guy, and he's complaining about how the NBA, and a guy calls the show, and they're complaining, yeah, nobody talks about the games in the NBA. It's always about the soap opera and the stars and who's going to play. And I'm sitting there thinking, yeah? Well, what's wrong with that? You do get in politics, the campaign is way more interesting than talking about government. The presidential campaigns are fascinating. People are arguing, they're having debates. You don't know who's going to be president, who's going where, what office. It's fascinating. That's why Fox News and MSNBC crush C-SPAN's ratings. Because campaigns are way more interesting than government. Government is 8-hour tax code briefing. Not that fascinating. Campaigns, Trump on Twitter, whoo, fireworks show. Joe Biden versus Trump debate. That's way more interesting than the tax code meeting. So our American politics, to some degree, is like the NBA. What people say in a campaign is much more interesting than what they'll do as a politician. And you're worried because the NBA does that? Kit, folks, the dirty little secret about the NBA, and the NBA knows this and would admit it behind closed doors. Nobody really watches the games until the conference finals and the finals. The Pro Bowl crushes NBA ratings all year long, even the first round of the playoffs, often the second round. But it's great soap opera. And the two sports in America that give us headlines are the NFL and the NBA. The two leagues that don't, hockey and baseball. And those commissioners and those sports would die for a guy like me to go on for 3 hours a day yapping about soap operas. And by the way, all you crusty Major League Baseball fans who are complaining that nobody talks about the games, it should be noted, when baseball was at its best, you had the Hot Stove League. Where's A-Rod going? Where's Josh Hamilton going? That was great. It was an added component to baseball. Now guys sign 10, 12-year deals. They're locked in forever. You don't get as much as that. So, you know, this idea that the NBA, it's bad for business. You never forget this about the NBA. The kid in Pakistan or Beijing that buys a jersey is every bit as valuable because it's a global league as the guy sitting in Indiana watching the Pacers. That kid in Beijing that buys a jersey, a Raptor jersey, or a Laker jersey, or a Clipper jersey, or a Maverick, or a Hawk, or a Timberwolf jersey, he's not watching or going to the game Phoenix against Denver on a Tuesday night, but he's buying jerseys and shoes and he loves Steph, but he's on Twitter and he's on Instagram. It's a global league. This is great. This is why Americans watch European soccer, why Ronaldo's a household name everywhere, and Messi and Steph and Durant. It's okay. And I hear this all the time. It's about the game. Really? I have friends who own recruiting websites, USC.com, RollTide.com, OhioStateBucknuts.com. Ask them their number one traffic day. It's not game day. No, 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 no. It is not game day. It is National Letter of Intent Recruiting Day. Oh, Colin's right again. You care about a 17-year-old that runs a 4.440 from Beaumont, Texas, but an NBA fan can't care where Kevin Durant's going? What are you talking about? We've always been fascinated in political campaigns and where the stars are going, even if they're high school basketball and football players. The NBA's a headline sport. There's nothing at all wrong with that. It's why Fox News and MSNBC beat C-SPAN. The campaign, the comments, the headlines beat actual government. It is okay. No reason to be grumpy. Baseball was at its best when it had a dynamic, vibrant, hot stove league. And the biggest day in college sports is never game day. Ask the people who run the websites. It's National Letter of Recruit Day. And yes, I will admit, I'm watching with a buddy at my house tonight. He's from San Francisco. I'm going to watch the Warriors and the Raptors, and I'm going to love it, and it's going to be fun. But I'll tell you this, I am more interested to find out where KD goes you know, July 1st. I'm not going to lie. I'm fascinated by that. I want to know where Kyrie goes. Absolutely. I like the campaign more than I like governance. And I'm not going to apologize for that, and nor should the NBA.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I had this young man on a year ago, and we said, you can't not like him. He's just, I know that's a double negative. You can't not like him, but he's a terrific player, most improved player in the NBA, and he had a good rookie year, better a second year. De'Aaron Fox, the former Kentucky Wildcat, let us bring him on. Sacramento Kings, who, by the way, because I watch a lot of NBA basketball, the Sacramento Kings, as we noted several times on this show, were probably, they were the most interesting team not to make the playoffs, but a fun, fast, wild, crazy team. And how are you?
I'm doing well. First, I want to say thank you guys for having me on.
Oh, we love having you. Last time, in fact, you had the glasses. You looked like the young professor. Now, you've been in the league 2 years now. We were just talking about Zion. So if you could go to Zion and say, okay, here's how it works. You know, you went to Kentucky, he goes to Duke. Yep. If you could do your rookie season just a little bit over, what is the most jarring, crazy thing about being a rookie in the league?
Oh, man. Well, first is just the speed of the game. But I think he's going to – there are some people who just adjust to things like that.
Right.
Like, I felt like I was fast, but the speed of the game kind of caught me by surprise.
Sure.
And I think just being prepared for that. I think he's going to be fine. I think he's definitely going to be great.
Yeah, he's got a magnetism. He'd be fun to play with. So I want to talk about the Warriors because, you know, you play the Warriors regularly. Mm-hmm. So take my audience to when you play Golden State, you were a great AAU player. You're a great college player. You're a great young NBA player. But the Warriors can be different. There's a certain – take my audience into a game or two this year against the Warriors late in games because I think what really separates them is the last 4 minutes of mm-hmm. games. Take us there.
But one thing – I think that, you know, everybody talks about their ball movement. Once you get to the last 4 minutes of every game, I think most teams play the same. You either have somebody that can isolate or you have someone that can operate in a pick and roll. And I think that that's where they become dangerous, where you have KD and Draymond in the pick and roll and then you have Steph and Klay on the wing. And I think that that's where they're different because they don't turn the ball over in crunch time. They're going to make tough shots and they're going to defend.
Steph's not a good defender. He's guarded you before. Can he defend a little?
He can definitely defend. And he's a lot bigger and stronger than people give him credit for. Because you see him switch on a James, who's 6'6", 220. And then you see him switch on a LeBron, who's 6'8", 260. He's a lot stronger than people are giving him credit for. Because he's the games that everybody are watching are the games where he's being switched on to bigger and stronger people. But he's not a bad defender. He's definitely not a bad defender.
Let me ask this. You've played the Warriors with KD, and you've played without. So let's start when you play the Warriors with KD. What's it like?
With KD, I think it's almost – well, we played 4 great games against them this past year.
You did.
And it's extremely hard because I think he's the best offensive player in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Do you double him? Then who do you leave? Because they have 5 guys on the court that know how to play the game of basketball.
They really do.
And I think that it's extremely different. You have a lot of guys who are good basketball players, but then you have people whose IQ and don't really know how to play the game. They made it. They can make it somewhere because of their athleticism or their talent.
Yeah.
They have guys where if you double off of them, who do you double off of? Kevon. Kevon knows to dive if you double off of him, where he's going to get a shot that's a layup or a dunk. If you double off of Draymond, he's going to cut. Then he's going to catch the ball, and he's going to either make a pass, he's going to shoot a layup, or he's going to dribble the ball and get someone else a shot. Then you definitely don't double off of Klay or Steph. So it's kind of pick your poison whenever he's playing. It's
okay,
hard.
So now the Warriors, when KD's not there, I see a lot more movement.
That's another thing. When he's not playing, the ball pops more. Then you kind of see Steph getting more shots. You see Klay getting more shots, and you see guys are getting off more.
Now, De'Aaron, for you, when KD doesn't play, it seems to me it would be harder for you because you're chasing. Because when I watch them without KD, Steph is in constant motion.
Oh, no, you're chasing them whether KD's playing or not. I had to guard Steph four times this year. It's hard.
Is it?
Yeah, it's extremely hard to guard because he's – like you have guys like Kyrie and Dame who do everything off the dribble. I think it's kind of easier to guard a guy like that. Like, it's not easy to guard it at all. But you're not using as much energy as when Steph throws the ball, runs to the other corner, catches it, does a couple dribble moves, come off a pick and roll, throws it again, and then gets three down screens. It's not even a play. It's just them knowing what each other wants to do. So I think it's so hard guarding Steph. You have to be in the best shape of your life.
Well, you have an incredibly high basketball IQ. How old are you? 20 years
I'm
old?
21.
I mean, it's incredible. You're like you're sounding a coach. And it is interesting. I've always said this about the NBA. The last two dynasties, Golden State and the Miami Heat. Mm-hmm. Look at the IQs. Battier, Wade, Haslam, LeBron, Ray Allen. Steph, dad played. Klay, dad played. Durant, Draymond. Intelligence in this league is wildly underrated because unlike football where there are breaks in between plays mm-hmm. or baseball where I pitch and we wait, basketball is fluid.
And so everything's a reaction.
Everything's a reaction. So I think the Warriors – I will say this about Toronto. Let's talk about your games against Toronto. Yeah. They don't have as much talent, but they got a lot of dudes, De'Aaron, that have been in this league for a long time. That is a smart Raptor team. Now, you've played them. What are those games like?
So I actually only played Toronto once this year. So because the one game – I played 81 games this year, so that game, I sat that game. But man, that's a great team, and you have guys that come off the bench like Fred VanVleet had a great game against us as well. So it's that team isn't as talented as you said as you said, just like the Warriors. But man, they play well together. Mm-hmm. Kyle Lowry, even if he's not putting the ball in the basket, he's drawing charges, he's getting rebounds, he's setting screens. We didn't play him when Mark was there just yet, but yeah. You have Serge. Serge is gonna make shots. He's gonna block shots. He's gonna rebound. Kawhi is going to do what Kawhi does. He's going to defend. He's going to get steals. He's going to rebound. He's going to put the ball in the basket. Pascal, man, he's been great this year. He's one of the fastest guys in the league at the 6'10".
For his size, he runs great.
Like a deer, just down, right. getting down the court. He's going to, if he's not making shots, he's going to get to his spots. He's still going to rebound. And they have just a group that plays hard. Everybody on their team plays hard. They defend. They take charges as they play as a unit. And I think I had Warriors in 6 because I think Kawhi will them to one game at least. Even if the team doesn't play well, I think Kawhi can win them a game. And I think they're a good enough team to when they're playing well, they can beat the Warriors.
Plus, Toronto's got that young, loud, lubricated crowd. It's
a great place. I haven't played in Toronto yet because my rookie year I was hurt when we played in Toronto. So I haven't played in Toronto yet. That's the one city that I haven't played in yet.
Crazy. Young. We were talking about yesterday. It's a young franchise. Toronto's a young city. You know, it's like it's in a crazy, diverse, wild, loud. Yes. And they want it so bad.
Man, like we went to Eton, like I hear people speaking French. You hear a bunch of different, like Toronto's a great city. I think it's definitely one of the best NBA cities in the league.
So I got to ask you about, Sacramento because I really do think you guys are on the come. I think you're a very interesting franchise. Playing in Sacramento is kind of quiet. You went from Kentucky, which is glamour, eyes, media, to kind of sleepy Sacramento. But you have flourished there. You know, we talk about all these guys like Durant wants to go to New York. And Kawhi wants to go to Los Angeles. But Paul George is like, I'm going to stay in Oklahoma City. What is it like? People always kind of look at all these small towns, you know, or smaller cities, Portland, Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Playing in a smaller NBA city, do you like it?
I definitely do like it. But the thing is, there's a lot more similarities in a small town team and a blue blood school. Now, the thing is, we might not have as many fans outside of the city, but in Sacramento, like, we have a our soccer team might be going MLS.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, as far as professional sports, we have a AAA baseball team. So we're the only major sport that's there.
So it's like Kentucky.
Everybody's a Kings fan. So if you go to Kentucky, there's no major sport. You're either a Kings, I mean, you're either a Kentucky fan or you're a Louisville fan. We sell out every game because that's the event. That's what's to do in Sacramento. People come. So I think that there's a lot more similarities than people know, than people think of. Like, if you go to New York, some games feel like there's no one there because there's a lot more stuff that people are doing.
Two NBA, two NFL, two Major League Baseball.
So it's like
teams.
Everybody's not there. Like, you, like, we played a game in Atlanta. It's different. But if you go to a small town, if you go to a small team or a small town, you go to OKC, every game sold out. Everybody's there. And I think that's why people love it. Like, the fans are truly fans. Like, we Sacramento fans have gone through a lot. So the loyalty that's there, you just see it. Like, you can't go out. I can't go to Walmart without someone being a Kings fan. Like, it's different. In every part of Sacramento, it's like that.
By the way, you have a new agent, and everybody talks about these agents and players meeting. Who is your new agent?
My agent is Chris Gaston.
And where do you know him from?
Who I've known since the seventh grade. He was my trainer. But he's had a lot of guys who he's either trained with or been friends with that have, you know, been in the NBA. So he's kind of, doesn't have the agent experience, but from my standpoint.
You trust him.
I trust him with everything. I trust him with everything.
That's all it's about. I have an agent. That's all it's about. Do I trust him? My dad used to have an old saying. He goes, your bosses will make most of their decisions when you're out of the room. So the agent, you better have somebody that shares your morals and values. Because those bosses are going to decide on you, and he's going to talk for you. And if it doesn't matter how glib he is and how funny, if he doesn't have your same values when you're in that room and you're not in the room and your agent's in the room, you're going to not like your agent. And it's really true. You picked your buddy that you respect, you trust.
Yeah, and there'll be things that he won't bring to me because he know I won't like it. So I just think it's great for me to have somebody that knows me as best as anybody.
You're going to have an amazing career. You really are. You're going to be one of these guys that plays in this league forever. You're easy to root for, and Sacramento is rolling. Loved having you on. For your 21-year-old kid, you sound like a coach. I don't know if you ever wanted to be a coach, but when you're done playing, go into coaching or broadcasting.
I played at every level, so I don't know if I want to be a coach.
Great seeing you again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So yesterday, Baker Mayfield talked about me yesterday, and I've been reluctant to get into this because, first of all, this is great for me. I had a league personnel person 2 days ago text me. He's like, God, you've got to be loving this. The kid talks about you nonstop on social media. His last 5 tweets are all me. I didn't even respond yesterday to one of them or two of them. So here's the one yesterday. He goes, I've never been worried about you. You're laughable. I've always done it differently. I won't change for anybody, and I sure won't change for a big, tough guy behind a mic. You really are in your feelings. It is hilarious. Thanks for the idea for the T-shirts. You wear a small. Man, you got me.
Aren't you bigger than Baker?
He says, by the way, this quote isn't new. He's talking about some quote. I'm happy I give you a new storyline. Also, do you accept checks for the rent I have in your head, or is it still free? By the way, you've responded. Your last 5 tweets are about me. My last 5 are not about you, so I'm not sure who's in whose head. But I will say this. This is so predictably Cleveland. They've always been the loser brother in the family that finally gets a decent job and now brags how great his job is. It's like you've been a loser forever. You were 7-8-1, and you can't stop chatting. Pittsburgh's got Super Bowl trophies and rings and titles and legends. You're the loser brother in a family, not Baker, but the Browns, who finally, after all these years of embarrassment and disappointment and dysfunctional, you get a pretty good job and you go out and party all night and want to tell everybody how great you are. It's like, how about you just work in the offseason and not worry about Instagram? By the way, this is why Vegas has them at 9 on the over-under, which is an incredibly low number. With all their talent, Cleveland should be a 10.5 to an 11 over-and-under team. Think about this. Cleveland won 7 games last year. Their coach got fired. Their offensive coordinator got fired. Baker Mayfield was a rookie, and they were still rebuilding their wide receiving core, their defensive line, and their secondary. And they won 7 games in a division where Baltimore shocked the world and played really good. Now, if you look at Cleveland,
through their additions in the draft, they've upgraded their defensive line, which was already good. Now it's spectacular. Their offensive line at the end of last year was top three in the league, according to Pro Football Focus. With the addition of OBJ, I don't even think you can argue it. It's the most explosive wide receiver core in the NFL. I don't even think you can argue it. It's the best wide receiving core. Now, will it be the best? But it's the most explosive. It's the deepest running back group in the league when Kareem Hunt gets back at Thanksgiving and Baker's in his second year. How are they a nine-win team? How is Vegas having 9 wins? Why? This. OBJ, Baker, building brands. This talent, you put this talent in Philadelphia, their over and under is 10.5, 11. Cleveland's got all sorts of talent. Now, you know, that doesn't mean everything, but in terms of it, most teams with this much talent have a higher over-under win than 9. I mean, you look at San Francisco doesn't have close to this talent in terms of O-line, D-line, running back, wide receiver. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo didn't even play last year most of it. So Garoppolo's coming back. Baker, you know, big games, big moments, played the last 3 months of the year. Nice offseason. So if you want to know, everybody's got the Browns at 9 wins over under, which is where I have them. It's because some people, it's harder to handle success than failure. Failure's easy to handle. You know why? Because everybody fails, so you're not the only one. And when you fail, you're like, oh, that stunk. I'm going to work really hard and try not to. But success is hard. Like when you're successful, you start getting gassed up, believing in yourself. And when you've been unsuccessful forever, and then you get a little taste of success, and for Cleveland, that's 7-8-1, what you get worried about is this nonsense. So you can tweet me, Baker, all day long. I don't care. Believe me, our ratings in May were up 32%. You're probably helping that. I don't care. But this is why everybody with Cleveland if a second-year quarterback under Belichick was in Instagram fights, what do you think Bill would do? He'd be like, shut that down. What do you think, what do you think Sean McVay would do? Sean Payton would do? What do you think? So it's not about some battle between Baker and I. I don't care. I don't respond to all his tweets. I'm not into this Twitter stuff. I'm really not. I'm not good at Twitter. I'm not good at Instagram. I'm not good at all this stuff. It's not my thing. I like doing radio. I like doing TV. I'll do a podcast, but I'm not a Twitter guy. But this is why this team with all this talent, Vegas has them over under at 9. They got way too much. They should be at 10.5. And that it's actually one of the best values if you're a better on over-under is Cleveland. This talent is 10, 11, 12 win. Vegas has them at 9 because of this nonsense.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Joey, I've said for years and years, people will often say one of the criticisms of this show is, Colin flip-flops. I mean, Colin said this on Tuesday, and he said that on Thursday. And my argument's always been, if I was a pilot and you were going to get on the plane, and I said, listen, we have major thunderstorms moved into our area, would you want me to change my flight plan?
Yes, please.
Okay. If I was a surgeon and you were coming in and you had something that could be a near-death experience, this is a very serious surgery, would you want me as a doctor to use new drugs on the market that could save your life?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. When new information comes in, I'm going to use it. You can be old cranky baseball guy. This is the way they've always played. I'm not. I'm the opposite. If you held a stock and your stockbroker called you and said, hey, there's insider trading here. The CEO just sold all his stock. I would tell my stockbroker, I loved that company yesterday. I hate it today. Sell my stock.
Well, can't you get a deal for that?
Yeah, maybe. The point is, don't get stuck in the mud. This free agency in the NBA stuff, people complain, well, every day it changes. That's because information changes every day. Injuries change. I mean, Kevin Durant, we all had going to New York, and then he gets hurt, and Rick Bucher came on our show and said, now KD's wondering, should I go to New York now?
I said it here. Like when you asked me, I have yet to hear one person say to me, no, he's staying in Golden State. In the last 48 hours concerning the injury, I've had somebody say, I think he might stay at Golden State. That's the first time I've heard that since this entire narrative began.
And the reason being, he's hurt now, and he's wondering, do I want to go to New York with an injury that's worse than people think and have to play 40 minutes a night? I can't take any nights off because I'm playing with kids. In Golden State, you can take some nights off. He only played 26 minutes a game end of the year, 33 minutes a game during the year. So as information comes in that's new, I change my opinion. Alabama's going to win the national title potentially if Tua starts at quarterback. Breaks his leg fourth game, they're not winning the national championship. You want me to just stick to my opinion? I'm changing constantly. So I thought I'd start this hour two, with what I would call the big six. I'm not going to count Chris Paul because he's got 2 years left on his contract, two or three. I'm not going to count Bradley Beal because we don't know if the Wizards would make a deal with anybody. But the six, the big six, and I'm not going to count Klay Thompson because he's not going anywhere. Golden State's going to give him as much money as they possibly can. But the big six in the league, I'm going to give you my opinion on where they go. I want to be held to this, so I may do this one more time. But as of today, this is where I think the big six are going to go. So let's start with a Kawhi Leonard for the Toronto Raptors. Now, there's a lot of people that believe, hey, if he wins, he stays, and if he loses, he doesn't. I don't think it matters. I think you have an out either way. I think if he wins, he can say, hey, I left on top. I gave you everything, Canada, you deserved. And if he loses, he can say, man, we don't get free agents here. We're too good to get a good draft pick. I can't keep carrying this team. So my guess is Kawhi Leonard ends up in Los Angeles, my first guess, with the Clippers. I live in this city. They have done a remarkable job building an infrastructure. This year, they've already beat the Warriors twice in the playoffs. They're a tough out. They are one player away from being a real pain in the butt. And I think Jerry West still has incredible gravitas in this league. Lawrence Frank, Michael Winger, Steve Ballmer, Doc Rivers. That's a very impressive room. I think Kawhi Leonard ends up, not at the easiest decision, but ends up as a Clipper. Let's go now to Anthony Davis, who is not a free agent, but Shams Charania is a very good NBA reporter, said that during breakfast yesterday, after it was done, his belief is it's unlikely Anthony Davis' stance will change and he will eventually say, I want out. But they're going to talk some more, but that's what Shams Charania is saying. We bring him on the show as well. So Anthony Davis, here's what I believe is going to happen with the Pelicans. They're going to find out here eventually, pretty quick here. You can't make a trade yet until the season's over, right? They're going to find out that Anthony Davis wants out. And of all their trade partners, I believe David Griffin is most excited about getting Zion at number one and the Knicks pick at number three, which would be R.J. Barrett. Joy and I both believe this. That's a 20-point-a-game guy very early. I think Anthony Davis gets traded to the New York Knicks because I think then you can bring two superstars at Duke to the Pelicans. Duke's a southern school, largely. The Pelicans in the South. It's incredibly brandable, easy to do it. And I think with Drew Holiday, you've got a future. It's fun. It's magnetic. There's magnetism. So I think Anthony Davis gets traded. By the way, Gail Benson, this story has been out twice now with legitimate reporters, does not want to trade Anthony Davis to the Lakers or the West. They can trade him to New York. Then let's talk Kevin Durant. The injury is fascinating. Now, I've always said the same thing on Kevin Durant. What are you doing? You can make more money in Golden State. Better owner in Golden State, better coach in Golden State, better roster in Golden State. What are you doing? But I do believe if Anthony Davis goes to the Knicks, it would happen before Kevin Durant would have to make a decision. I think that trade's going to happen as soon as possible. That trade's going to happen AD to the Knicks. I think Kevin Durant then goes, okay, I got some reservations about Kyrie Irving. He's a little flaky. Kevin Durant goes to the Knicks. I've been told this by a current player and a former All-Star player. So I think that. Now, I'm not saying it's what I would do. I am projecting the big six, what I think will happen. Kawhi Clippers, AD New York, KD New York. Now, what about Kyrie? I think Kevin Durant won't say it, but I think he has reservations about Kyrie Irving, who's a small player. He's not a one. He gets hurt. He can be difficult. He's a little erratic sometimes, his personality. But he grew up a Nets fan. He just bought a house in South Orange in New Jersey. Kyrie, I think,
will make a decision, crossing his fingers that somebody joins him, but I think he will go to the Brooklyn Nets. This is something I've had backed up by somebody who I trust in the league, that Kyrie Irving will go to the Brooklyn Nets. Now, that leaves two more players in my big six. So, in review, Kawhi to the Clippers, AD to New York, KD to New York, Kyrie to the Brooklyn. Let's go Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's very talented. He can be a little combative, doesn't love playing with young guys. But I just got video yesterday. He was in Los Angeles yesterday. He is in this town constantly. And, you know, Jimmy Butler's not a young guy. He's got to make money on this contract, and he's got to do a shoe deal. He's got to make money. He's got to be with a big brand. And I don't think the chemistry is perfect in Philadelphia. Now, I do think there's a chance they just pay him the max and he stays. And I think if I was Philadelphia, that's what I would do. I'd try to keep him. He's a little erratic, Philadelphia, but all your guys are erratic. Embiid's a little erratic. Simmons, I don't know. My gut feeling is Jimmy Butler goes to the Lakers. That's my feeling today. He goes to the Lakers. Now, again, if I'm Philadelphia, I don't let him go. But Philadelphia's got some choices here to make, and they're not going to pay max to everybody. I would pay Butler, not Tobias Harris. I would move Joel Embiid. I've told you that before he breaks down more. So that leaves Boogie Cousins, my final big six. Now, Boogie, they brought him on in Golden State, and it hasn't really been good or bad. It's just been it. Smart veteran player coming off an injury. I think they're going to try to save money in Golden State and go after a Brook Lopez, because they're going to have to pay Clay a lot of money and Draymond a lot of money, and they pay Steph a lot of money, and they do lose KD, so they need size. But I don't think they're going to pay Boogie a ton, and I don't think there's a lot of takers on the market coming off another injury for him. He can be, I would just say, difficult is his label. Fair or not, I don't know him, but he can be, some people see him as difficult. And I think he's going to end up with the Lakers. Because I think a lot of the top teams are not going to roll the dice on him. But I think the Lakers are going to be fairly desperate. Now, that means LeBron will have Jimmy Butler and Boogie Cousins. That is a lot of noise, and it's a lot of combative, and it's a lot of difficult. But these are my guesses, the information I have now. Kawhi Leonard, Clippers over the Raptors. Anthony Davis, Knicks, because that's where they trade him, because I think David Griffin and Gail Benson would prefer East, and I think the Knicks have a better draft pick, and that number three draft pick is going to be a star in the NBA. It's no guarantee the number four draft pick in this pick is a star. Could be, but I think RJ Barrett's pretty much a 25-point-a-game guy guarantee. He's a real player. Then I think Kevin watches that and says, okay, I don't have to protect the rim. I've got a very good defender. I've got a veteran guy. I got another horse. He made it for it. It makes Kevin's move to New York much easier. And by the way, Anthony Davis traded there, take some parts, but Anthony Davis and Kevin Durant as a front court, that's going to be the best front court arguably in the NBA. In the East, that's a playoff team. And then I think Kyrie Irving goes to the Nets because of his history in that area. And I think Jimmy and DeMarcus go to the Lakers. I don't think that makes the Lakers a championship team. I think it makes them wildly entertaining. I don't think it makes them great.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
This is really interesting because Baker Mayfield in the last week has taken a couple shots at me, and I'm like, Baker, you don't care about this stuff. And I have a theory on this, is that Baker knows there's a problem right now inside Cleveland. Odell Beckham's not showing up to practice, and Freddie Kitchens is pissed. And Baker knows that if Baker gets a lot of attention toward me, I won't pay attention to OBJ. They got a real crisis on their hands. And if you don't think so, Freddie Kitchens this morning on what he wants to see from Odell Beckham Jr. next week, quote, I just want to see him. He was asked, what did he miss? The coach said, a lot. On what specifically did he miss? The coach said, the offense. This is a real issue in Cleveland. Baker doesn't want people to talk about this and draw attention away from it. I'm not going to get into a Twitter war with Baker Mayfield. I couldn't give a rip. This is a story. 75 days since the trade. He's been in Cleveland 3 days. It's a story, and the coach is pissed, and now the coach is going public with it. This, by the way, has been a story for the last 10, 15 days inside the building. This is the story in Cleveland. Baker can take shots at me, so I fall for it and get into arguments with Baker. I'm not going to get into a Twitter war with Baker Mayfield. I don't give a rip. It's silly. It's nonsense. I'll, when he attacks me and calls me a liar, I'll defend myself, but I think he's doing some of this. Hey, look over here. I'm coming after you. He doesn't want us to talk about this. This is a situation in Cleveland. When a head coach comes out and says, what do you want from OBJ? I'd like to see him. What did he miss? A lot? What did he miss specifically? The offense? I'm going to read this here. He appears to be perturbed. Kitchen spoke to the media, gave very short answers. We are working to get sound on this. Yeah, this is a story, and this is why Vegas has him at 9 wins. This is why Vegas, because all this talent, this is an 11-win team. This is a team that I should be saying, they're going to win the division. Vegas should be saying, easy, win the division. This is why they're not. This is a real story. This isn't Twitter beefing. This is, Mary Kay Cabot's a legitimate NFL reporter. She's as legitimate as they get. I've talked to Mary Kay. I've used her social media. I've used her reports for a decade. The other place, this place. Rookie head coach upset with a superstar. Okay, that's not something he wanted to do. That is not something Freddie Kitchens didn't want to go there. But if he's perturbed publicly, then what is he saying inside? I always say this. If you see a couple fighting at a dinner party, what do you think the fights are like at their house when nobody's watching? For a coach to get this upset publicly about a superstar that can be a little, you got to watch out what you say about Odell Beckham. He can be a very emotional guy. So the coach doesn't want to criticize him publicly. If a coach is criticizing OBJ publicly, what's happening in-house? We always said this. If you were seeing all the stuff that was happening to the Giants publicly, that's why we knew when everybody said they weren't going to trade him, they were going to trade him. There's always 10 times more garbage in somebody's house if you see stuff outside of the house. So that's a real thing.